This week's parsha, of course, focuses, at least in the beginning, on the Para Aduma, the red heifer, and what was the purpose of the red heifer? The purpose of the red heifer is, without the ashes of the red heifer, someone who became ritually impure, who came in contact with the dead body, would not be able to get rid of that impurity. If we look at number one on the source sheet, it says, "Hanogeya b'meischol nefesh adam v'tamei v'asyamim." If anybody goes and comes in contact with a dead person, they are ritually impure for 7 days. Hu yischato b'yom ha'shishi b'yom ha'shvi'i yitar. V'lo yischato b'yom ha'shishi b'yom ha'shvi'i lo yitar. During this week, on the third and the seventh day of the week, the person would be sprinkled with the ashes of the red heifer, and if the person was sprinkled with these ashes, and then afterwards went to the mikvah, they would become tahor. They would get rid of their impurity. They would become pure once again, and if not, not. So, in fact, this is very important nowadays. We assume that we are all ritually impure at some point or another. We were in a cemetery, we came somehow in contact with a dead body, and there's nothing we can do about it nowadays because we do not have the ashes of the red heifer. So this is one of the issues that we hope will be taken care of at some point. But there's an interesting question related to this, a very fascinating question, that I wanted to focus on today, and to focus even a little bit more on the spin-off of it. At the end of Maseches Nida, which is really the end of the Talmud, right? If you made it in Daf Yomi to this Gemara, easy peasy, you're within 3 days of the end. So the Gemara says that there were three questions which are referred to as Divrei Boros, silly questions. No, they're saying there are no silly questions, but there are a lot of inquisitive idiots out there. So, right? Right, so these are three of those silly questions, right? Other people disagree on the definition. That's the popular one. It says, first question, Ishto Shalot Mavshe Tetame. So we know Lot's wife didn't actually die, but rather she was turned into a pillar of salt. The question is, if someone comes in contact with that pillar of salt, do they become ritually impure? Question number one. Answer, Amalhem, Meis Matame, Vein Netziv Melech Matame. A dead body makes you ritually impure, not a pile of salt. Okay, next question. Ben Shunamis, Mashe Yatame. If we remember that there was the story in the Navi of the Isha Shunamis, or the Shunammite woman whose child dies and is brought back to life by Eliyahu. What's the story? That child was dead, and now that child comes back to life, and I come in contact to this once dead child, do I become ritually impure? No, this kid is not dead, this kid is alive, and therefore no. Okay, third question. The dead people that come back to life at the point of the resurrection of the dead, do they need to be sprinkled with the ashes of the Para Aduma, supposedly because they were in contact with themselves? Right? This is the Gemara. So the answer was, no rush. We'll deal with it when it happens. Whenever it comes back to life, you're going to have Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Let him handle this one. I'm going to punt on this one. The question, the Gemara is obviously odd. That goes without saying. But beyond being odd, it's even within itself difficult to understand, because among the questions you have is, what's the difference among the people that are going to come back to life at the time of the resurrection of the dead and the child of the Shunamis that was brought back to life? Why is the Gemara asking basically the same question twice? It talks about the Bein Shunamis, then it talks, Isn't that really the same case?
But you could argue that when we have Tia Tamekis,
yes,
that among the miracles that happen of Tia Tamekis is maybe the end of Tamekis, as we understand it.
Well, okay, so...
You're talking about the end of the world. So that's, don't know the rules apply.
So again, if I was a Sephardi, I would turn to the Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rambam is very clear that one of his 13 basic principles of faith is that the Torah will never change.
Right.
So why would it change then? That's part of ever.
Okay, obviously, I'm not thinking of the Rambam as they say it. And we've had this discussion before.
Right. So therefore, you know, it's a difficult Gemara to understand. And I'd like to give some background to one of the answers, because the background itself is very important. The Rambam, so we know very little about what's going to be at the end of days. That's true. We know very little bit about what's going to be in the time of Mashiach, and we know even less of what's going to be in the by the time of the resurrection of the dead. Right? It's kind of like, as we tell our children, you know, when we get there, we'll be there. Right? We don't really know the answers. When we get there, we'll see what happens. Therefore, there's a fair amount of discussion about it. The Rambam has a very famous piece that appears in his Hilchos Tshuva, where he discusses this, and he says as follows. He talks about what is Olam Haba. He says, the Olam Haba ein bo guf v'gvio. When you go to Olam Haba, you no longer have a body. Ela nefashot tzadikim belvad. All you have are the souls of the righteous. Below guf k'malachei yasharis. They are just floating souls, they're like angels. Hoil the ain bo gavios, the ain bo roachilo, veroshtia, verodover, because varm shagufas bene adam tzvichim lahem baum hazer. At that point, when you don't have a body, so you don't have to eat, right? The reason I eat, it's not for my soul. I eat for my body. So, you don't have a body, you don't have to eat. At that point, you know, you're not going to stand, you're not going to sit, you're not going to sleep, you're not going to die, because those are all physical things. And in Olam Haba, there is no physical. The physical is gone, the body is gone, it's only a soul. Right? You're not going to be happy, you're not going to be sad. You're all spiritual. Kacham ruchachomim harishonim ha'olam haba ein bo lo achira v'lo shtia v'lo tashmish al-yoshim b'derech chida al-yoshim tzadikim yoshim v'atoroseihem v'rosheihem v'nev miziv ashchina. They're just sitting there and they are basking in the glory of God's presence. And he's baruch ha she'ein sham guf l'fi she'ein sham achira v'shtia. It says you don't have to eat, you don't drink, you don't have a body. Right? So the Rambam is really hammering this point. So it's it doesn't mean they're literally sitting. It means they're there. Their crowns are on their heads. It's not that they're wearing crowns, but rather this is their reward because they lived good lives. Now they have the right to live this wonderful afterlife. That's the Rambam's opinion. That after death, there was something called the Olam Haba, and that's spiritual. The Ravid asks a famous and probably misguided question. He says, Olam Haba, the Ravid says, this is bothering me, because it's sounding like Tchias HaMesim is only going to be the soul coming back, and not the body coming back. V'chaye roshi, rohaye das chazal alzeh, shambu, ko shambu b'ksubos, asidim e'atzadim shambu b'vusheyem, kal v'chol mechita. It says that you're going to come back wearing clothing. V'chaye no mitzuvim levneyem, al tikruvuni bekerim levanim v'al v'shchorim sheba ezake. Simply, people were concerned what they were buried in because they were going to come back in it. So he says it's very difficult to understand. What do you mean there's not going to be a body? Of course, in the time of Tchias HaMason, there's going to be a body. So the Ravid is very bothered by this. What's the Rambam saying here? Now the Kesef Mishnah steps in and gives what seems to be the obvious answer. And that is, the Ravid seems to have confused two different ideas. The idea of Olam Haba and the idea of Tchias HaMason. And what the Rambam understands, and we're not going to discuss this, but the Ravid clearly doesn't understand there, is that what happens is a person dies. And when a person dies, their soul, as we say, goes up to heaven. And at that time, the soul is getting its just rewards. Then at some point in history, after the coming of the Mashiach, we're going to have a time of resurrection. And then the souls are going to come back down, reunite with the bodies, and that's going to be Tchias HaMason, the resurrection of the dead.
The disintegrated bodies that were put into graves?
The bodies that disintegrated will, in fact, miraculously
be reconstituted,
and they will reincarnate.
Including the bones and the bone boxes, they'll just regenerate.
Even ashes, right? Whatever it is, that is the idea. So this is the Rambam. Yes.
So that would mean that they were buried, but in the World War II, did McCants people? I don't know if you call them
buried.
That's
why he said even ashes.
Even ashes. Right. Well, what if it's not the body is just left?
Again, anybody who's been dead at this point for over 100 years, mm-hmm. Not a doctor, but I don't think there's that much left at this point. Right? So again, whether the person disintegrated, decomposed over time, or...
There may be a full skeleton left.
There may be, right?
But, from the 12th century England,
again,
they dug up cemeteries and there's skeletons.
Right, so again, you're talking about people that died through fire, right? People that were crushed, right? They're people, the majority, but a very strong minority of the people who died in 9/11 in the World Trade Center, they have never found anything from them. Right? So, whatever it is, don't worry, God can handle it. Thank you for your concern, but he's got this one. Right? So that's what the Kesef Mishnah explains that the Rambam is saying, is that we have these different stages. Now, what is this stage of Tchias HaMason? So the Rambam has a very interesting opinion. The Rambam says, what's going to happen? Right, so again, you die, go to Olam Haba, and then at some point, either the tzaddikim, everybody, Jews, non-Jews, unclear who, but certain people at least get to come back down, reincarnation, and that's it. We're all back together again. Now the Rambam explains what's going to happen is, okay, Elon Ishim Jashay Yashuvu Nafshosom Lugufas, the people who their souls will come back to their bodies. Yochu v'yishtu v'yishkuru v'yolidu v'yamusu achrei achayim aruchim ma'od kechayim hinsam b'yimosu Mashiach. Unlike in Olam Haba, where there is no body and there's no eating, etc., the Rambam says that when you come back, you will be eating, you will be sleeping, you'll be living a normal life, and you will die again. That's a very... So again, so we're going to bring you back.
Okay. Yeah. You come back as a 10-year-old, as a 25-year-old, as a...
So again, as I said in the preface to this, we know very little about the Mashiach, we know less about this. I've commented, assuming you believe in Gilgulim, okay, reincarnation, right, so which body, right, which, who gets, right, so therefore, if,
what?
I remember reading someplace once, and it's funny, I've seen other opinions since, I've never seen that whichever person was the most worthy, that's the body that gets to come back. I remember reading many years ago a biography of the Baba Sali, of Abu Chatzera. And in this book, the Baba Sali writes that he believed that he was a reincarnation of Yecheskel Hanavi. Right? I remember thinking, poor guy, I hope that I am a reincarnation of a bunch of horse thieves. Because I'm not looking for this competition when it comes to Tchias. If I'm up against Yecheskel Hanavi, game, set, match. This is over. Right? Now I'm folding. It's over. We don't got a chance, you know? Put me up against a bunch of horse thieves. Okay, now I got it.
Maybe we'll see you.
Right, maybe I'll be coming back for the curtain call. So, all good questions and all questions that I don't have answers to. That's the truth. But this is a major statement, because the whole reason of Tchias HaMeisim was to undo death, but yet according to Rambam, you're going to die again.
But do you go back to the same Olam Haba?
The same
You were at an Olam Haba, you had this beautiful spirit.
Everything was great, right? Now I come back again, a curtain call. I tip my hat to the adoring fans. And then, right, or Baba Sali, one or the other, not both, right? You know, so this is statement in the Rambam in his Igeres Tchias HaMeisim is very odd. He says, so he makes it clear. Don't think I just snuck this in. Olam Haba, you never die from. So he gets up and he makes this statement that, in fact, that's the way it's going to be. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban thinks that the final step is Tchias HaMeisim. We live, we die, we come back, and we live forever.
That's what I thought it was.
So he says it clear out. The Ramban has a sefer called the Toras HaAdam. The Toras HaAdam is basically a work about death. It starts with, it's kind of depressing. The Shulchan Aruch does the same thing. It begins with Hilchos Biker Cholim, right, visiting the sick. And then it goes into burial, avelus, you know. It's basically, okay, and when that doesn't work, right, and it goes, but it, unlike the Shulchan Aruch, it goes through Tchias HaMeisim. The Shulchan Aruch just ends with death, right? Obviously, it's written by a Yeki, but other people move on afterwards. So the Toras HaAdam, at the very end, it's called the Shar HaGmul, which is the end of the Toras HaAdam, which is the ultimate reward. We discuss reward and punishment. Said you're going to go to the world of the souls. That's called Gan Eden, which we call Olam Haba. Right? Okay, different names for it. And then at some point, Mashiach comes. Mashiach isn't coming into this spiritual world. Mashiach is coming into this world. And then so you have the body here with, right? Then the soul gets its reward in Gan Eden, Olam Haba, Yeshiva Shomala, whatever you want to call it. Then it comes back down here, and the body and the soul reunite for the ultimate reward of Tchias HaMeisim. This is the ultimate reward. Now we have raised the body to the level of the spiritual. And at that point, when the body reunites with the soul, it will remain together as one forever. So So the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam and thinks that no, once you come back to life, you're never dying again. So this is a, and you see from there that in the Ramban's idea, that is what Olam Haba is. There's Gan Eden, where you go when you die, and then afterwards, you most Mashiach, then there's Tchias Beis, Olam Haba is on this world. So that is a major disagreement. The Chochmas B'Tzalel Anita uses this as an opportunity to explain our Gemara that we're trying to understand. The Gemara wants to know, do the people that, you know, at the time of Tchias HaMesim, are they going to have to go to the mikvah? So I'll do it outside to explain. So the Chochmas B'Tzalel Regensburg, he was a Rishon. We only have his work on Maseches Nida. That's the only, as far as I know, volume that we have. It's wonderful. It's very interesting. The Mordechai, my son-in-law, was learning Nida this year. So I said to him, do you have a B'Tzalel Regensburg? The Chochmas B'Tzalel? And he said, never heard of it. So I gave it to him. I said, hey, you can borrow mine. He came back to me and he said, you know, the boys in the Kol and Torah Vadas, you know, he said, it's constantly being used. That they had never heard of it. It was put out by Mosada Rav Kook. It's a wonderful work. And it's a shame that's the only volume we have. So he writes as follows. It's a very interesting question. The question is, why are dead people tummy? What about it makes them tummy? So he said there's two possibilities. Possibility number one is death is ultimately a punishment. Right? Eventually our sins catch up with us. Either sooner, hopefully later, but eventually. And since it was...
Die from sin?
And a bullet to the skull. Well, a combination of the two.
Well, those are different. And what about old age and...
What?
I mean,
so again, the Gemara tells us there's only four people in the history of mankind that have died without sin. But ultimately, there's a famous Gemara of that there was a scorpion that was going around killing people, and a certain rabbi said, watch this. He took off his shoes, and he put his foot on the scorpion's hole. The scorpion came out and bit him, and with that, he died, meaning the scorpion. The scorpion dropped dead, takes the scorpion, he throws it over his shoulder, walks to the base medrash, drops it down, and he says, scorpions don't kill. Sin kills.
That's a really nice story.
Right. It's like I had a roommate who had a bumper sticker and said, guns don't kill people. I kill people. So, and in fact, he did 10 years in federal prison.
Okay, really?
Yeah, really, really. Now, you want to date him?
So, hang around the most interesting people.
Trying to kill a world leader. It's not a biggie, okay?
I've heard about
you. You literally said, guns don't kill people, I kill people.
Yes, he had a bumper sticker. I also had another one that said, eat more possum. And he had a third one that said, so many pedestrians, so little time.
And he did 10 years in the federal or the states?
Federal. So the question here is since he wants to know, is it because death is brought on by sin, ultimately, and that's why when someone dies, because of the sin part of it, we're dealing with, there is a certain amount of tumah impurity, or is it no? Just in general, dead body equals impurity has nothing to do with the reasons. He said, ultimately, he reads our Gemara in an interesting way. It says, he's not talking about when the people come back. He wants to know, according to the Rambam, the people who come back and then eventually die, will they be impure? Because at the end of the days, the world's going to be full of knowledge of Hashem. People will not be sinning at that point. So therefore, those people who die, according to the Rambam, that people are still dying, will they, if you come in contact with one of them, will you have to use the ashes of the red cow? Because there was no sin involved. A very interesting idea. But as I said, the workup is more interesting. This discussion about will people die at the time of Tchias HaMesim is a fascinating machokes, and hence the name of the shir, is there death after life after death? Right? Meaning that will there be another level of it? If you look at the Rambam defends his position as follows. The Rambam writes in his Pirsa Mishnayis, again, this isn't in all versions. The Pirsa Mishnayis was written originally in Arabic. So, therefore, there are different translations into Hebrew. He said, Tchias Mesim hu yisod mi yisodei Moshe Rabbeinu. So, in Hebrew, he talks about the 13 basic principles of faith. This is number 13, right? We say them here in Idos on Friday nights to the tune of Yigdal. The last one is Mesim Yachaya. Kel Barov Chazdo Baruch Adayad Chev Tihiloso. Right, that the last one is the last of the 13th of the 13 principles of faith is this idea of resurrection of the dead. And he writes, Chis Mesum Yisod Misod Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom Vein Das Lo Davkus Badas Yehudis Lomishlo Yamin Zem. Very important that you have to believe it. It's one of the principles of faith. Avom Hu L'Tzadikim. Not everyone gets it. Only the righteous. And God provides rain, he provides rains for good and bad people alike. Everyone gets the rain. But not everyone gets the Tchias HaMesim. Then here's the last line. Vida. And note. Anything that is a mixture cannot last forever. Mixtures eventually are going to break up, the Rambam says. It's not natural for the spiritual, the soul, to be attached to the physical. And therefore, it is inevitable that they will split off from each other. And the splitting of the soul, the spiritual, from the physical, from the body, is what we call death. And therefore the Rambam says, whenever you have a mixture of body and soul, it might last a very long time, but it can't last forever. And that's why the Rambam believes that even at the time of Tchias HaMesim, even at the time of the resurrection of the dead, it can't last forever. It might last a really long time, but eventually they're going to have to split again.
Again, is this just coming out of his logic about things that are parts will fall apart? I mean, where
this is
logical.
This is logic. Uh-huh. This is what he believes.
Okay.
That unless it is a unit, a single unit, then it cannot last forever. The Ramban is bothered by this, and he takes it on many different ways. I'll give you two of them. The first one he points to is Adam Harishon. Adam Harishon, did he have a body?
Yes.
Did he have a soul?
I assume yes.
Had he not eaten from the Eitz Hadas, how long would he have lived?
Forever. At least that's what we believe.
Correct.
Or there is a belief.
Correct. So, can a body plus soul last forever?
Sounds like it
could have. If you don't eat from the Eitz
Hadas. Like
if you can just avoid that. If we just ask you to please avoid eating from the Eitz Hadas.
I didn't say like maybe if he would have made it through Shabbos, he would have become purely spiritual or like, I don't know.
His body would have dropped off?
I don't know.
The whole purpose of creating him was to make him not like the angels.
That also infers that he never would sin, since sin is what kills you.
Right. Okay, but you know, that's...
But in fact, he did sin, and that's what we say.
Right. That is all true. But you see, from the Ramban's point, is the Rambam's idea that inevitably anything that is a combination of the physical and the spiritual cannot last. That, of course, is undermined by the fact that there is an Adam Harishon that theoretically, at least, could have lived forever. That's point number one. That's number 9 on the sheet. Number 10 on the sheet is a second point that the Ramban makes. And that is as follows, that he said, let's say you're right. Scientifically, naturally, you're right. Philosophically, let's say you're right.
About these two things.
That he said, but who cares? This is God.
Really?
Right? God isn't bound. God created nature. He's not bound by nature. He is super. He's above nature. He's supernatural. Right. And therefore, I don't get your question, the Ramban says. Look again, I'm telling you, Right? So he says the world's going to last forever. The universe can last forever. Why can't people last forever? He called the river Ratzon Abari. Right? Maybe, according to all logic, you know, the sun should burn out. The universe should collapse upon itself. Right?
Maybe.
That's a long way out.
What?
Long way out.
Right? So, you know, the bottom line is, yeah, he said, but, you know, if God doesn't want it to happen, it won't. That's the, right? God is not bound by the laws of nature, the laws of physics, etc. So, therefore, you know, the Ramban says, this is why you believe that's going to be death in the time of Tchias, because it has to be, because that's what the laws of nature tell you. The Ramban is therefore argues on the Rambam. Now, philosophically, there's a different question on the Rambam, and that question also is, the Ramban made it very clear why we have Tchias HaMeisim. Right? The Ramban says that is the ultimate reward. Right? The ultimate reward is we're taking the physical body and we're raising it to the level where it can become one with the spirit. And therefore,
that implies a rejection of the 13th principle of the Rambam, because that means the laws are different. The laws of
the 13th principle is that there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim.
Well, yes, according to the Rambam, the question is to what end?
Right, correct. That's right. Exactly.
The Rambam goes on to say, if you read it fully in Moreh Nevuchim, that the world will continue and it will continue as it did before. But the Ramban is saying that there's almost going to be eternal life, corporal eternal life.
Right, the Rambam just says that the laws of the Torah will never change. Right, that's what the Rambam says.
No. He says
that's Yimos HaMashiach, right. Not Tchias HaMeisim. That's what we're talking about, Yimos HaMashiach. Right? So we get it. The Ramban, I understand what the person lives a good life, right? Then the person's soul gets to go up to heaven, get a nice vacation, right? Whatever it is. But the ultimate reward is that not only is the spirit, you know, being rewarded while the body rots, but the body then is raised to the point where it can become one, and together, right, it could have this eternal bliss. That is, I get it according to the Ramban, but as Yitzchak said, what's the Rambam getting? Here it is, the soul goes up, then at some point it comes down for a period of time.
And then dies.
And then we're back where we were. So
what's the point of that?
Why?
Yeah, why you add that extra step?
Right.
Unless there is another Olam Haba beyond that.
Right. Olam Haba Haba.
Yeah.
Haba Haba. Haba Haba. That's
the other. Once the person has complete clarity in Olam Haba, they get to come back and, you know, earn more Olam Haba.
Like, right. So the Sefer Ikarim. The Sefer Ikarim deals with this. And he says, L'zeh ma she'ira she'ikra t'chi roti rasei schar l'guf. He says, no, the Rambam doesn't hold it, the Rambam, that this is part of the reward. What Jenny is saying. It's saying that, you know, I went through my first life, and the first life I had a Yetzer Hara, an evil inclination. I had all sorts of challenges, right? I had to raise children. I had to make a living. I had medical issues. I had to put up with, etc. I had noisy neighbors. Whatever issues I've had, you know. Right. I was Nebuchad a Cubs fan. Whatever miseries I had to go through in this life, right? And then you know, now I get to come back in a perfect world. And in a perfect world, I will raise my spiritual level, and that would make me better able to appreciate the Olam Haba. Whatever level, again, according to the Rambam, it's all about intellectual growth. Whatever I've done, it gets me a certain level, but then I have a right to come back under more optimal circumstances and do it again. That is the idea of the Rambam according to the Sefer Ikarim. So the purpose of Tchiyas HaMeisim is different between the Ramban. Right? Right? According to the Ramban, it is the goal. It's the ultimate goal, and therefore that's the final step, as opposed to the Rambam sees it, no, that it's another step leading you to the ultimate goal, which is a return to Olam Haba. How do we find, what is the majority opinion out there? So I'll just give you one other opinion. That's Rashi. Rashi is very interesting because there's a Gemara that seems to be very clearly following the opinion of the Ramban. There's a lot that points there, right? And the last line in every Hesped is
Bila
Hamavetz L'Nacha. What do those words mean?
Will be eradicated.
Right? La'netzach. Meaning forever. There'll be no more net, right? Isn't that what the pasuk in Yeshaya says? Macha Hashem v'lekim v'dinu me'alkol panim. Right, that pasuk sounds a lot like the Ramban and not like the Rambam. Similarly, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin in number 12 says Tanu de Be'Eliyahu tzadikim she. It's very rare that you see the words Tanu de Be'Eliyahu in the Gemara. It's an interesting discussion. Who is this Eliyahu? Is this actually Eliyahu Hanavi, according to some opinions who said this? Tzadikim she'asa karish baruch hu l'achayosim inam chozim l'ofron. Translate? The righteous that are going to be brought back to life, what? Are not going to go back. Isn't that pretty clear, like the Ramban?
Shenamav, that means that there's going to be failures and never come back.
Correct. Again, but those people who are not...
Those who do,
right?
Here.
That's it. If you don't make the kafir tchiyas hameisim, we're sorry, but thank you for appearing. You get a year's supply of turtle wax, but you're not coming back. So you're not going to be back on the show tomorrow. That's the best we can do for you. But if you make it back, right, it sounds like it's very clear. They're not going back. They're not going to be buried again. Sounds pretty clear in the Gemara against the Rambam. How is the Rambam? So look at the Rashi. This is talking about at the end of days. So then he says, this Rashi is an odd line. He seems to be saying, no, it's not talking about anything like this. It means that if you die, your body, if you're a tzaddik, will not disintegrate in its waiting for tchiyas hameisim.
So if you rot, you're actually a rotter.
Okay, you're Johnny Rotten.
Whatever you want to say.
Right?
No idea.
So this is a story of Johnny Rotten.
I don't understand that. Why would we be caught up with what is the body rotting or is it staying? I mean, God's in control here. God can make
Correct.
Any of this happen.
He could. The question is, what's he going to do?
Right.
I'm not doubting whether he can do it. Right. So it's again, once you understand the way Rashi understands, it's not talking about what's going to happen at the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, but rather still talking about happening between Yemos HaMashiach and Tchiyas HaMeisim. So that's a little different. So It's an interesting discussion. Again,
what's the difference? I don't understand the difference, Mashiach. What's the difference at that point?
What? Well, again, at the time of Mashiach, definitely according to the Rambam, but according to both, people are going to die.
Okay.
People will live longer lives, but they're definitely dying.
Okay.
Right? Those people who die, they, like the people who die now, will, if they deserve it, will be coming back at the time of the resurrection of the dead.
Those are two separate things. I thought when Mashiach comes, we're going to have resurrection.
We generally assume that. No. Again, if we look at the Rambam at number 12 and number 13, right? Number 12 is Ani Mami Bimushlaim Vias HaMashiach, Ba'afal Pishi Yisma Meim, Kozal Chakalo. Right? That's number 12. And number 13 is that Ani Mamin, these aren't the Rambam, didn't say any of these words, that there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim L'Asa Lavo.
There will
come a time where there will be a resurrection of the dead.
And they're separate time periods, basically.
Right.
Okay.
So again, we hope and pray that this all comes very soon. But this happens to be an interesting disagreement between the Rambam and the Ramban what that period of time is going to look like, and as at least as far as the Gemara that we saw related to this week's Parsha, it according to at least one opinion, is the key to understanding that line in the Gemara. Okay?